Friday's narrow vote by machinists to approve Boeing's contract extension offer highlights a deep rift between the local and national union leaders. And it also perhaps signals a turning point for the labor movement nationally. Leon Grunberg is a professor of sociology at the University of Puget Sound. He's also co-author of Turbulence, Boeing, and the State of American Workers and Managers. Leon, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
You're welcome.
The machinists turned down a previous contract extension offer overwhelmingly. This time, it narrowly got approved. You know, we just heard Connie Kelleher say they were under a lot of pressure from the outside. Why do you think the vote was different this time?
I think she's right. I think, you know, that their allies, the people they helped get elected, the governor and congressmen and senators and mayors, started to really push very hard for them to vote yes. And then the international did, too. So, and I think also, you know, probably when they went, I think the first vote was, you know, obviously an emotional reaction to the sense that they were being pushed against the wall. And it was quite understandable that they voted it down. But then I think with all these allies kind of pushing for them to vote yes, to change their vote, and, you know, the fact that Boeing was sort of had 22 other states submit bids, I think people started to get pressure from friends and relatives, and I think that changed the vote.
You know, a lot of the rhetoric before the first vote was very similar to around the second vote. If the machinists don't approve this, Boeing will move, it'll hurt the economy, it'll hurt everybody, it'll hurt the machinists. Yet they voted it down anyway, and didn't they get a better deal because they turned it down the first time?
Yeah, I think so. I think that their initial solidarity got a better deal, both in terms, I think the most significant one was that new hires could reach the top of the wage scale as it used to be, you know, in 6 years instead of the longer period that Boeing wanted. So I think they got something important by sticking together and voting it down. And I think, you know, for some of them, that may have reinforced the sort of brinksmanship that has traditionally been the way that Boeing and its unions negotiate. You know, they kind of push each other, and then right at the last minute, often in the past, Boeing would concede. I think this time was different because the threat loomed that they would move production, and I think this is a recent phenomenon where they've brought that to the table, which has massively increased the leverage that Boeing has in negotiations. I think in the past they felt sort of, Boeing management, I think, felt that the relationship, I think, they felt was unbalanced. So I remember the president of Boeing, Jim Olbaugh, said that they wanted to rebalance the relationship. And I think this is one way they've done it, by essentially holding the threat of moving production and thousands of jobs out of the area.
Now, it's not unheard of for a union to offer concessions to a company, but
right.
Usually concessions are offered to a company that's really on the ropes, that's having a really hard time. Boeing is not that, is it?
No, it isn't. It's doing splendidly financially. I think its stock has doubled in a year. It's almost at record high, or it is at record highs. I think it's close to 140. And it's got record orders, and it's producing lots of airplanes. And I think what's really surprising is not only is it doing well financially, but it did it against a very strong union local. And it did it, you know, it's interesting because people have been saying, well, the trend is away from traditional pensions towards 401ks, which is true. That's what's happening across the country. But most of that is happening in non-union companies. Most union companies have not seen those who have traditional pensions haven't seen those disappear. Only 12% of union large companies have moved from a traditional pension. So the fact that Boeing, under these circumstances, doing very well against a powerful union and winning, I think is going to set a precedent that other large companies are going to follow. So in that sense, I think it is a significant event in labor history.
Yeah, following up on your last point there, where might you see the repercussions of this vote and this victory for the company down the line? Are there some other unions that might face the same kind of hardball dealing with their companies?
Well, I assume in some of the larger corporations, I can't name them off the top of my head right now, but I assume a large corporations are going to look at this and say, you know, okay, we have traditional pensions, but I think we can put it on the table in future negotiations and move it. I think internally at Boeing, of course, it means that Speer is next up for when it comes up for negotiations.
Yes, and we should point out that's the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace. They're the second biggest union, and so this might affect their negotiations.
Oh, absolutely, because I think at the moment they just passed that new hires would go on a 401k, but it's clear that now Boeing will come back and say, hey, you know, the machinists have done it. We need you to do it, too, that all workers will lose their traditional pension and move towards a 401k.
And finally, I'm kind of confused about the fact that the national machinists were urging for a yes vote and the local leaders were urging for a no vote. What are the origins of this kind of split? It's the same union. Why did they come down on different sides on this particular vote?
You know, that's a good question, and one would have to ask them. But I think that the local union is familiar with Boeing's negotiating tactics, and I think it thought that this was brinksmanship, and if they held firm and they showed solidarity, that or as I think I heard Connie Kelleher say, all the factors point to Boeing building it here. Those are the ones that make economic sense. I think perhaps the international union was more aware of national trends and saw that in this economic recession, with labor down to 6.5% of the workforce unionized, with strike activity down across the country, I think they probably felt that the union was in a very weak position, and they were worried about losing, yeah, you know, membership.
Leon, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Leon Grunberg, professor of sociology at the University of Puget Sound. He's also the co-author of the book Turbulence, Boeing and the State of American Workers and Managers. With Marcy Silman, I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Record.